well, it might be decided today. Toronto 177, Milwaukee $2.05. Plenty of money for Milwaukee to win that one. They were favourites to win the series before it got underway. And as I said, whoever wins this series goes on to play Golden State Warriors in that final. And whoever it is, they're going to be pretty remote outsiders.
Yeah, most definitely. Kevin Durant, though, I think he's still listed to miss the first game of the final series.
Won't matter.
Yeah, probably not.
You're just too good.
Probably not. No, good on you, Jared. Thanks for that. Of course, Origin 1, I'll be up there in Brisbane. I won't be looking for a ticket for you, okay? Just to clarify.
You're the best. I don't care. I don't care what everybody says about you. I actually don't mind you. I think you're not a bad fella, which I know flies in the face of what everybody in the world says.
Yeah, but next guy, can you not encourage them either? No, you're right. You're right. Good on you, mate.
See ya.
See you next week. Jared Daffy there from TAB. 1353 53, the open line number. News now. Then, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, Tanya with a sports update, Phil Moss, and, of course, Newcastle Knights coach Nathan Brown.
I'm Sarah Wombe. One of New South Wales Police's highest profile detectives is resigning after he was stood down from the William Tyrrell abduction case. Detective Chief Inspector Gary Jubelin, who commanded dozens of officers on Strike Force Roseanne for 4 years, was taken off the Tyrrell case in March while he was being investigated over allegations of misconduct. A report from the internal misconduct investigation is yet to be made public. A 19-year-old man has been charged over an alleged break-in as police investigate the death of a teenager following a brawl at a house party in Sydney's southwest. Four men, all aged 19, were arrested at the scene of a chaotic street fight involving metal poles and bats outside an Ingleburn home on Friday night. Emergency services discovered the 18-year-old teenager on the road with serious head injuries, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Detective Chief Inspector Michael Moroney says those responsible will be found.
Obviously, people who commit these types of offences, we will bring them to justice. Whether or not that happens today, tomorrow, that obviously will form part of the investigation, and obviously we want to get these people off the street as soon as we can.
Five people have been arrested after three patrol police officers were brutally attacked by a gang of people on the streets in Brisbane. Shortly before midnight, two officers spoke to a group in Osborne Street in Mitchelton who had been asked to leave nearby licensed premises. Police say the group became hostile and attacked the 35-year-old female senior constable. It's also alleged several members of the group then assaulted the 36-year-old male constable as he went to his colleague's assistance with a man choking the senior constable until she almost lost consciousness. All three officers were taken to St Andrews Hospital for treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. All five members of the group are currently in custody and assisting detectives with their inquiries. Also in news, a new high school in Perth will be named in honour of former Prime Minister Bob Hawke. More than 50,000 sheep destined for the Middle East leave Fremantle in Western Australia today, despite concerns from animal welfare groups. And thousands of volunteers across Australia will today help raise vital funds for the Salvation Army's annual Red Shield appeal. US Vice President Mike Pence told the graduating class at West Point, the military academy for the US Army, that some will see combat. There are rising concerns that prospect is sooner rather than later following a series of moves by the Trump administration. A US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The newly commissioned second lieutenants of the US Army were warned by US Vice President Mike Pence, quote, some of you will join the fight against radical Islamic terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there are some fears there could be conflict with Iran following President Trump's decision to send an additional 1,500 more troops to the Middle East and to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia and regional allies. Those weapons sales are raising particular concerns because they bypass key congressional regulations, with lawmakers warning there's no emergency to justify the sales. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And a United Nations Maritime Tribunal has ruled that Russia must immediately release three Ukrainian naval vessels captured in November and the 24 sailors it detained. This is Air News. South Sydney's horror injury toll has risen after they lost halfback Adam Reynolds to a possible fractured leg in their 32-16 NRL win over the West Tigers. Reynolds left the ground on crutches last night after his leg was caught under a teammate in the first half, cruelling his shot at a State of Origin recall. Earlier, the Broncos beat the Warriors 8-2 in Auckland, and the Cowboys were too good for the Raiders, 22-16 in Canberra. Essendon's AFL injury crisis has escalated, with Jack Stringer and Dylan Shill joining the casualty list with hamstring injuries in a 23-point loss to Richmond in the Dreamtime at the G game. The Bombers threatened a late comeback before the Tigers ran out 10-13, 73-6, 14-50 winners in front of just over 80,000 fans last night at the MCG. In the other games, there were wins for Geelong, West Coast, North Melbourne and Hawthorn. Melbourne's big Super Rugby win over the Sunwolves has come at a cost, with Test halfback Will Jennia knocked out. The Rebels kept their quest for a maiden finals appearance on track with a 52-7 bonus point win over the Sunwolves in Tokyo. The Crusaders, Jaguars, Stormers and Sharks all posted wins. Steve Smith's 100 has helped Australia to a 12-run win over England in the World Cup warm-up match at Southampton. And India's World Cup preparations have suffered a setback as New Zealand handed them a 6-wicket defeat at the Oval. Australian Independent Radio News.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, we have a very precious gift card right now at Bingley.
Define precious.
I thought of it and I'm precious.
Yes, Lano, you are.
Spend $650 or more on a washer or dryer at Bingley and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $250.
That is precious. Say it again.
A bonus gift card worth up to $250 when you buy a washer or dryer at Bingley.
Wow.
It was all my idea.
Don't be precious.
Conditions apply.
It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup.
Harry Angel, the horse that can fly. The world's top-rated sprinter in 2017. Emphatic winner of the Haydock Sprint Cup and the Group 1 July Cup. A precocious son by Europe's leading speed sire, Dark Angel. Harry Angel, the fast outcross sire we've been waiting for. Now standing at Darley in the Hunter Valley for $22,000 including GST. Start with a Darley Stallion and the rest will follow.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Clarendon Homes Raise the Roof promotion on now. 31 luxury must-have upgrades for $4,990. Head to clarendon.com.au to find out more. T's and C's apply. In Moorebank, we've got changed traffic conditions on Newbridge Road between Kelso Crescent and Heathcote Road after an earlier accident. Two westbound lanes are closed. In Surrey Hills, Bourke Street is closed between Vavoe, Fitzroy Street and Cleveland Street for light rail. And in Mascot, we've got a good run to the airport. No delays to the international terminal on Marsh Street. It's time you were rewarded. Spend more, save more at Oz Design Furniture. The more you spend, the more you'll save. Ends tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au. T's and C's apply. I'm Sutherland Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, winds north-northwesterly, 15 to 20 k's, turning westerly during the morning, then becoming light in the early afternoon. Heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees today in Sydney. James, the temperature for Muswellbrook and Nowra today?
Muswellbrook at the moment, mostly sunny, 22 degrees will be the top for today. And Nowra, cloud clearing and a maximum temperature of 20 degrees.
Catch on the last tackle. They have their chance.
Vibes Radio, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Final hour of the program. I hope you're enjoying your start to a really nice Sunday morning. Good weather here in Sydney town. I hope it's the same all around, although we know we need rain in those regional areas. Ray and I, up until 10 o'clock, just to let you know, I had a win in the quiz, which was satisfying. 11
points. It's the holiday all weekend,
pretty
isn't it?
Pretty much, sure. Spending time with the family is great. However,
you've got to get perspective.
If I don't get a win in that quiz,
so you're already thinking and almost drunk those four cartons, have you?
State of absolutely. I've got them. It'll be the week before Christmas, and then a couple of days after that, it'll be
All the three last Christmas didn't last till the new year, did
Very
they?
Very busy period of the year, Ray. So as you know, state of origin, the injury toll keeps piling up for New South Wales. We'll try and find out who is actually going to be in the halves for them. We think Cleary and Walker are the obvious choices. There's a few question marks for Freddie Fittler, less so for Kevin Walters in the Queensland side. Royal Randwick was yesterday, of course. We've been talking a lot about the ride of Rachel King, absolutely outstanding on Deprive. And great news from the Australian cricket point of view. I like them at the $5. We just heard from Gerard Daffy from TAB. $5 and Steve Smith in form with a fantastic century against England last night. Our talk topic for today is the injuries that kept people out of big games or moments or tours. And there's quite a few that we're talking about. What about taking out of Ellerie Hanley by Terry Lamb? Ooh. That's from Steve. Kept
Jim,
out
did
of
you miss a big game that you really wanted to play in because of injury?
I was very lucky, touch wood. I was very lucky with injury. I broke my jaw in 97. That kept me out of a few games. But apart from that, I didn't miss too many, which was a fair bit of luck involved in
missed
that.
Missed the cricket grand final, broken thumb.
Did you?
Yeah, disaster.
So they missed
we won
out,
too.
They missed out on your, what, nine off about 36 balls, nicking and nudging around from that.
You know,
Chris Tavare-Thomas.
You know, Mario Fennec test match.
Yeah.
One day we were in a spot of bother. And I was holding up my end and we were batting well into the afternoon. And this bloke's yelled out a few obscenities and said, mate, it's not a so-and-so test match. When you mentioned, I always remember that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Move on.
Remember when Jamie Siddons was playing for South Australia in the Sheffield Shield game and Mark Waugh happened to be playing for New South Wales? Well, Mark Waugh was taking a really long, an exorbitant amount of time in marking centre and counting the fielders and doing all that. And Jamie Siddons from first slip said to Mark Waugh, come on, mate, it's not a test match. And Mark Waugh turned around and said, of course it's not. You're here.
Good comeback. Great.
15, love.
Great comeback line.
It's been a busy week in rugby league. And, of course, there's been lots of newspaper talk headlines around Greg Inglis and what's transpired. Yesterday was a little bit controversial, it must be said. Dean Ritchie was the writer of it. And he's our regular on a Sunday, so we thought we might start there, or I thought I might start there, and just get his thoughts on it. G'day, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
I don't know whether you heard the start of the program, Dino, but I had my bit to say about the headline from yesterday. I thought the story that you wrote was very balanced, but the headline was, I don't know whether it was misleading, but maybe more confrontational, dramatic, then the story suggested.
That had nothing to do with Dino.
No, well, that's what I'm just going to say. When you saw your story in print yesterday, what was your first thought?
Jimmy, I thought it got the run that it deserved. There was a lot of criticism directed at the paper and myself on social media. But look, it's a significant story in rugby league when one of your superstars checks into a rehabilitation clinic for 2, maybe 3 weeks. I think it has to be reported. I pointed out duly on social media that South Sydney released a statement with Greg's approval. So quite clearly, they and Greg wanted to be transparent. Todd Greenberg was quoted in the story. So was Ian Prendergast from the RLPA. So they were more than happy to involve themselves in the story as well. Look, I think possibly 20, 30 years ago, there was some form of shame in going to a rehab centre or a rehab clinic, but I think these days people are a bit more accepting of the situation. Everyone's supporting Greg, and I think, to be fair, it was a story that had to be written, and it got out there on page one, which is obviously a huge run in a huge metropolitan newspaper like the Telegraph, but I think the run was justified. I think it was the biggest story of the day, and I think it was handled quite sensitively all around.
And The only thing I will ask on this, and I don't know your involvement in writing of the headlines and so forth that.
Yeah. Zero.
But what I'm saying, do you ever take into consideration, or is it consideration given for the person at the centre of the story and the impact that story may have on them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, my headline is a grab for the readers, Jimmy. That's the first point of contact you have with a reader. If you put a headline on there that would be deemed, in inverted commas, boring, well then, that wouldn't attract a reader to the headline. So the reader's got to sort of be captured by the headline first up, be captivated by it, and then move his eyes into the story. So headline is it's a huge part of the story. Personally, I was very careful with how I wrote the story, as was Skull Rothfield, who wrote a comment piece on the double page spread regarding Greg. And look, a lot have been said about the media coverage of it, but you know, my argument yesterday was we should be pushing all our energy into trying to help Greg rehabilitate and not so much worry about newspaper stories involving the issue.
No, fair enough, Dino. Hey, Dino, we'll move on. Can I ask, mate, what is happening out at Penrith with Dylan Martini-Selesniak?
Yeah, Ray, he has asked for a release. He did that during the week. I did notice on Thursday night that after the game, he was out on the field in his tracksuit, hugging and embracing his teammates. So certainly Dylan is still invested in the club in terms of mateship. But I'm hearing that at the moment you'll find South Sydney and North Queensland Cowboys. They're the two clubs I'm hearing that are interested. His manager, Tyron Smith, has been in England. He arrives back in Sydney on Tuesday, where I think you'll find it will be ramped up a bit more then. Certainly, I think you'll find he'll have a club in the next week or so, I'm sure.
What's the issue, though, mate? What's the issue with Dylan and the club?
It's a funny one. I was told during the week, Ray, that Ivan Cleary pulled him aside and said, you're not in first grade. And he sort of copped that fairly sweet. And then Ivan went another level and said, you're not playing at all. And that rocked Dylan. Look, in the eyes of the Panthers, there's an attitude issue there. But in the eyes of the teammates, Dylan puts in every week. I think you'll find that a club like the West Tigers or even Manly will show some interest in Dylan. I mean, he is a New Zealand test player. It'll depend on what kind of money. I'm hearing that the Cowboys and Parra may be paying overs to get him there, but certainly for a player of his quality to come onto the market going into Origin and the back end of the season, it will be a real bonus for the club that just managed to pick him up.
Well, the beauty of it is the first year of his contract is going to be supplemented very strongly by the Penrith Panthers. From what I understand, $700,000 a year is what his contract is for next year. And for a club to take him, they might give him a three-year deal and say, well, we only give you $200,000 the first year and Penrith can foot the bill for the rest of it.
I think Penrith were happy to get rid of him, Jimmy, not in so much terms of performance, but just trying to ease some pressure on that salary cap. I mean, I think he's a very good player, Dylan Martini-Selesniak, but if your figures are right, and I've got no reason to doubt them, Jimmy, I don't believe he's a $700,000 a year player. I think he's probably about a $400,000 player, in my opinion. But if those figures are right, I actually heard someone the other day suggest he was on $800,000, and I thought that floored me. There's no way he's an $800,000 a year player.
Wouldn't you love some transparency around this?
I've said that
for a decade. You'd love some transparency. What about the Gold Coast? They were down 12-0, and Garth Brennan was in the box next to us, and I thought his season is just going from bad to worse. The management had ordered a review of football operations, and then they come back and score 36 points. Manly, I don't know what happened to them on Friday night, but gee, it was the shot in the arm the Gold Coast Titans needed, Dino.
Yeah, you say his season was in free fall, Jim. I think his career was too. There were suggestions that he may not last the year. I can tell you, though, that Garth Brennan does have the full support of the playing group. They do like Garth Brennan as a coach, so that win down there at Brookvale will certainly ease some scrutiny on him through the next few weeks. While on the Gold Coast, Jai Arrow, he's got a year to go on his contract, but there's already clubs starting to form a queue to sign this bloke. He's going to be a highly in high demand, I think you'll find. We picked him at Origin side for Queensland, we believe, on Monday when Kevin Walters announces the side. So, yeah, look for him to really cause some ripples on the open market when he does come on, Jai Arrow. I think he'll be worth a lot of money and there'll be a lot of clubs looking at signing him for a 2, 3, even 4-year deal.
On Origin, Dino, obviously the New South Wales team announced tonight. Who's your halves combination?
Yeah, I think they'll go, Ray, for Walker and Cleary. I don't think there's a lot of other options out there. You go through, obviously, Adam Reynolds is gone, Luke Keary's gone, Mitchell Pearce is gone. Then you can throw in there James Roberts, Tom Trbojevic, BJ Leilua, Jack Bird. So there's certainly a depth issue there for New South Wales this year. They're not cruising into Origin 1 with a full-strength side. There'll be a few positions that will have to be manufactured along the way. But I can't see any other player. I mean, James Maloney's being mentioned. I don't think Jimmy's form is at where he needs it to be playing Origin. I'm sure he would even concede that. So I can't see any other combination there, right? Except Cleary, who no doubt cemented his place last Thursday night. I bumped Greg Alexander in the elevator after the game, and then I bumped Brad Fittler in the West Bank Stadium car park after the game, and both were raving about Cleary. So I think he was in even before Adam Reynolds went down injured last night.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. What about Angus Crichton? What? If he was left out, if he was in the side, I'd say, yeah, okay, they're rewarding the guys who did the job last year. If he was left out, I'd understand that on form.
Yeah, his form's been steady, Jimmy, without being brilliant.
Oh, and I'd say it more to the point, Dino, that someone like Cam Murray,
he deserves a spot.
He's just gone ahead of him. On Friday morning, I had Angus Crichton in my 17. Last night, by about 20 past nine, I had Cam Murray in his spot.
Cam Murray will definitely be there. I can tell you that right now. It just depends whether they start him at lock or off the bench. Look, the bench options are, as far as I can see, guys, there's Jack Whiten, Payne Haas, Ryan Madison's an option. I don't know whether he will get there or not. Look, there's a big push for Ryan Madison late. His form at the Tigers this year has been stellar. Obviously, Crichton, you mentioned him, and even someone like Tarek Sims, obviously, who was there last year as well. So depth in terms of their bench looks pretty strong, the Blues. But look, if I'm a betting man, I'll go with Whiten, Murray, Haas, and I think Ryan Madison just might poke his nose in there and be the bolter.
Mm. Hey, Dino, just quickly, any update on the injuries to Keary, Pearce and Reynolds?
Reynolds is having scans today, Ray. At very worst, he won't miss a game. But if it is a broken leg, well, obviously, he would be out for an extended period of time. I think Mitchell's looking at a couple of weeks on the sideline himself. And Keary's got concussion. It's his third or fourth time, Ray, so they just can't risk him at the moment. He'd be out for probably 1 to 2 weeks. I think you'll find protocols these days suggest that a player who has concussion repeatedly can't train for 6 days, hence why Brad Fittler ruled him out of the side. It's a real shame because he's a good young bloke, Luke Keary. He's been in stellar form. He would have been there, so to be robbed of an Origin game in his last outing before the team's announced is the real cruel blow of the young bloke.
Knocked out in his first Test match for Australia last year, right, too. You'll remember, against the Kiwis. Bulldogs v Storm today at Belmore. Do you know any changes?
Yeah, none for the Bulldogs from that team. Dean Pay named on Tuesday. Jimmy Lachlan Lewis and Kerrod Holland, they were culled from the reserves bench last night. Over there at Melbourne Storm, they don't expect any late changes either. Justin Ollam, Patrick Kafusi were the two to drop out last night. There is a suggestion that Ryan Pappenhausen may start at fullback for Jerome Hughes, but look, that's not confirmed just yet. At the moment, Storm are saying that Hughes will be the one that starts. And then there's the Derby, Dragons versus Sharks, down there at Wynn Stadium today, 4 o'clock kickoff. No changes from the team Mary McGregor picked earlier in the week. Corbin Sims comes back from a broken arm, I think it was. So good news there for the Dragons. And over there at the Sharks too, Matty Moylan, he didn't get culled last night off the bench, which would indicate to me that he will be there today some way. And even a suggestion this morning that he could start the game for the Sharkies.
Zach Lomax to fullback, one of our favourites here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. We wish him all the best with that. I think he's Matt Dufty out. It just seems incredible. Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, no, just the Origin tonight, Jimmy. That'll be the big news tomorrow. Yeah. 6 o'clock tonight. Queensland name their side tomorrow. The mail I'm getting out of Queensland, I spoke to Kevin Walters on Friday, and he said he will definitely be naming Daly Cherry Evans in the halves. He'll give him a couple of days if he needs it for that leg injury to recuperate even further, but he did say that he would want Cherry Evans running at least by Friday. So I think you'll find that Cherry will be certainly named. He'll be given until Friday. There's no doubt that he'll be playing And as you guys alluded to a few months ago on the show, it sets up a great Queensland back line with Ponga, Morgan and Munster and Cherry Evans. So, you know, Origin's alive and kicking it again, guys. It's just this phenomenon that keeps rolling on year after year, and this series is going to be just as gripping and enthralling as it has going back to 1980.
Can't wait.
Can't wait for it.
Good on you, Dino. Appreciate it, mate. We'll speak next week.
Thanks a lot, man.
Boy, see you, Dino. Dean Bulldog Richie there, 1353-53, the open line number. How about Rob Whittaker, about to defend his UFC middleweight title and winds up in hospital with a herniated twisted colon? Royal Gem John.
Oof.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
Back page news. So that was. By Ray, Jimmy didn't have any big games to miss. That's from the Bombardier Eagle. You don't realise how close to the truth that is.
Coringle Stud introduces the outstanding stallion prospect Price Icon to stand his first season in 2019. Price Icon won or place in all seven of his starts at two, including winning the listed Fern Hill and Group 1 Champagne Stakes before an emphatic victory in the VRC Derby. He's a winner of more than $2.1 million in prize money and a clone of his champion sire More Than Ready. Price Icon will stand at an introductory fee of $11,000 and all-inclusive packages are available. For details, visit coringlestud.com.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. Or the tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
5 days to bat.
Yeah, okay. Red lights on. So, we're talking about Ray's slow batting again. With Australian racing and breeding tables being dominated by sires who have delivered type and speed over and above their service fees, Suberg offers breeders an opportunity to invest on the back of two big mare books of 152 and 178 in his first two seasons. So that means that
he's been well patronised.
Well, that means that. Mm. It's a numbers game, right?
Exactly. You need to have runners on the ground, so he'll have plenty of those.
Backed not only by Kitchwin Hills, but a who's who of Australian racing and breeding.
Oh, I see where you're coming
from. Suberg is all set to explode into the racing scene. By Schnitzel, of course. Now you understand where we're going, Ray. If type matters, Ray, and if two-year-old speed matters, then Suberg is poised. This is just the beginning, or the end, for Ray. Visit kitchwinhills.com.au. That's KITCHWIN, kitchwinhills.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
Despite being in the midst of an injury crisis, South Sydney is on top of the NRL table after a 32-16 win over the West Tigers last night at ANZ. But unfortunately, they added Adam Reynolds to the list with a suspected broken leg. All of Brisbane's Origin contenders did their selection hopes no harm after an 8-2 win over the Warriors in Auckland. It was the lowest scoring game this season. And Canberra recorded its third straight loss, going down to the Cowboys in Canberra 22-16. Today, Canterbury play Melbourne and St George Illawarra take on Cronulla. Cricket World Cup warm-up matches overnight and Australia defeated England by 12 runs in Southampton. Steve Smith scored 116 off 102 balls in front of an 11,500-strong crowd, many of whom booed when the former Aussie captain and former vice-captain Dave Warner took to the pitch. Warner scored 43 off 55. It was the first televised match the two have played in the green and gold since returning from suspension. Smith said everyone's entitled to their own opinion on how they want to treat people and that he is able to block it out. In the other match, New Zealand beat India at the Oval by 6 wickets. The Waratahs' hopes of making the Super Rugby finals are fading after going down to the Jaguars last night at Bankwest, 23-15. It's the Tars' eighth loss of the season, all of which have been by 8 points or less. Elsewhere, Crusaders 19, the Blues 11, the Rebels 52 thrashed the Sunwolves 7. Overnight, the Stormers 34 beat the Highlanders 22 and the Sharks 27-17 over the Lions. AFL scores and Richmond beat Essendon 73-50, Geelong over the Gold Coast by 27, West Coast defeated Adelaide by 12 and North Melbourne 115, the Western Bulldogs 90. Today the Giants play Melbourne and St Kilda take on Carlton. Scott McLaughlin won his ninth Supercars race of the season yesterday at Winton after starting from fifth. The win sees him extend his lead in the championship race. If he can win today's race, he'll become only the seventh driver to win 10 or more races in one season, joining the likes of Craig Lowndes, Jamie Wincup, Mark Scaife, Garth Tander, Marcus Ambrose and Glenn Seaton. Aussie Stephanie Gilmore scored a 10 on her way to winning the World Surf League event in Bali. She beat fellow Aussie Sally Fitzgibbon in the final, and the win for Steph elevated her from world number 5 to world number 1. Lewis Hamilton has pole for the Monaco Formula One Grand Prix, dedicating an almost perfect lap to his great friend Niki Lauda, who died this week. And Daniel Ricciardo will start from 6th, which is his best qualifying result since switching to Renault. He does love that Monaco circuit. 10:30 this morning, Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA between Milwaukee and Toronto. The Raptors have won 3 straight to lead the series 3-2 after being down 2-0. They're so close to making their first NBA Finals appearance in team history, while the Bucks haven't made the finals since 1974. Regardless, whoever wins, they have to take on the strong Golden State. And the second tennis Grand Slam of the year gets underway tonight in Paris, day one of the French Open. Novak Djokovic is the men's top seed. Naomi Osaka tops the women's draw. Meantime, Alexander Zverev won the ATP event in Geneva overnight in a tight three-setter over Chile's Nicolas Jarry. He'll play Aussie John Millman in the French first round. Now, boys, we only have 2 players that are seeded, Ash Barty at number 8 and Alex Dimonor at 21. Dimonor does have a slight groin injury, but says he's getting back to his best. Ash is unfortunately in the same draw as Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka. And Roger Federer, it's his first appearance at the French for 4 years. Could it be his last?
Farewell tour?
Yeah, we were talking about that on the way in. Perhaps because it'll be his last.
He hasn't said anything, but it sort of makes sense that he's going back to Roland Garros one more time.
It's most unusual that his name pops up. That hasn't been his preparation when he's recognised that later in his career he needs to, if he's going to win Wimbledon, he doesn't play the French.
Yeah, exactly. Is Ash Barty's fitness okay? Was it an elbow?
Arm, elbow, yeah.
She pulled out of the lead-up tournament, so she's had a good clay court season, though.
But, to only have 2 Aussies seated, that's, state of tennis, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially for a clay court.
That's true. Anyway, wish them well.
Thank you, Tan. Yeah, we certainly do. 13:53:53. Up next, Phil Moss.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Doesn't it seem an age ago that Sydney FC were able to win the A-League Grand Final? There's been, we don't need to have Grand Finals, should be first past the post. Then we want dual leg semi-final matches and finals matches and everything in between. We've had the announcement of a World Cup Socceroos squad and all that to be covered by our man Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. Plenty to talk about. What a week we've got coming up with the Europa League final, the Champions League final. We've got the playoff in the English Championship with Milo Jedinak in it. And, of course, debate rages after former Sydney FC captain Alex Bross brought up the old Premiership versus Championship debate as well.
What's your thinking on it, Phil, given... What do you think?
Oh, look, I think the Premiership definitely needs to... The word plate needs to be removed from the Premiership, and I think that will give that more credence. But I don't think we can ever abandon the final series in Australia. It's just it's our way. It's what really stirs the emotion in fans, and you build to that crescendo. And look, the final series is a different competition, different mentality, mindset, and psyche behind it, but it is what fans look forward to all season in all our codes. So I don't see us ever scrapping it, but I certainly believe as a traditionalist that more credence and respect needs to be given to the Premier's plate, or the Premiership, as I'd like to hear it called.
Lots of new names in this Socceroos squad. What's your take on who Graham Arnold has named? And I guess the benefit of having them in this environment, minus your stars, for want of a better term, and the experience they get out of that.
That's right, Jimmy. Look, I think he's got this right, Graham Arnold, that for two points of view, obviously trying to build depth and looking at, the opportunity that some of these boys have got. There's a few debutants in there that I'll go into in a second. But I think the other side of the equation is that this was the only opportunity to give the old war horses, I guess, the guys who have been there and done it so many times for the Socceroos, a rest, because the World Cup qualifying starts in September. Once they're back into their seasons over in Europe, mm-hmm. and in the A-League, of course, there is no chance to get that rest. And there's some boys who have played a lot of football, and it's not just a physical toll, it's the mental toll as well. So to give them this opportunity to go away with their families, have a holiday, switch off from football, I think is crucial leading into our World Cup qualifiers. And the other side to it is seeing who shines in this camp, and the friendly against South Korea next week. You've got the likes of Brandon Borrello, who's in Germany, Brandon O'Neill, Andrew Redmayne, and Harry Suter, who are all got donuts next to their name as far as Socceroo caps are concerned. So chance for them to stand up with Harry Suter. I hear very, very good things about him at Stoke City. Big boy with good feet, reads the game well, a real leader. So I can't wait to see him get his opportunity to see what he brings to the Grand Gold shirt.
Absolutely, yeah. Matilda's World Cup team. Well, one thing it doesn't lack is experience. Over 1,000 caps in their squad, Phil.
Remarkable, Ray. You talk about the golden generation for the Socceroos back in 2006. Well, this is our golden generation, Matildas. The difference, I guess, is that women's football hasn't been professional in Australia for all that long. So, but to see the likes of Lisa Devana with 147 caps, 47 goals, Claire Pokinghorn, 116 caps next to her name, and you've got plenty who have got 70-odd caps next to their name. So, okay, Milicic has taken over at a very good time. It looks as though he's managed the transition from the outside looking in from Alan Stajic very well. All the messaging publicly has been very good. You saw the performances in the Cup of Nations. They look very promising, but the real stuff starts, next Saturday they've got the last friendly against the Netherlands over in Eindhoven, which will give us a gauge after that USA loss that they had, where they conceded far too many goals. But I think the focus has sharpened, and big test coming up against Italy, Brazil and Jamaica in the World Cup in the middle of June.
Real pathway, isn't it, now for elite female sportswomen who are going to be playing football and know that there is a way to the future. I mean, it starts even in the under sixes, yep. Say at Lillipilli, where the Mustangs, unfortunately the Lillipilli, the under six Mustangs, they're on a 3-game losing streak, and it's they say what you like as a coach.
Are you heavily involved,
no, I'm not. Oh, okay. Someone in our household is. And
no, but you're heavily involved in the coaching side of the
year. No. You learn about yourself as a coach when you've lost three on the trot, and that's what's happened with the Mustangs. So,
is it parental pressure, Phil?
Support of the board.
Yeah.
Coach Tracy is under pressure now.
Can you imagine Tracy coming home in the evenings, Phil, and putting up with James and his critique of the game and where she went wrong?
If she's married to you, Jimmy, then she's used to pressure, mate. She'll deal with it, no problem whatsoever.
Exactly. A star, doesn't she? A medal for that. And the biggest issue for the Mustangs every week is what colour ribbon they're going to use in their hair. But anyway, Champions League final, mate. We're out there at Club Marconi next week, and we're looking forward to that one. I said it last week. Now it obviously seems it's an age since these sides have played.
It really is. It's sort of like obviously I want to win, but it's certainly if there was a favourite going into it, it is a bit of a leveller. The amount of time between the last game and the Champions League final. Look, it's getting players up for this sort of a game is not a problem at all, and things like that. But it's just that rhythm that Liverpool and Spurs had at the back end of the season. That's now completely wiped from the memory banks, and this is absolutely a standalone one-off game, and anything's possible. But I think the difference is Liverpool need to win it, after the season they've had, and Spurs want to win it. Both teams want to win it, of course, but Liverpool, the season that they've had, the squad that Klopp has got together, the football he had them playing, the number of points they ended up on to finish runners-up in the Premier League, this is a must-win
for
Liverpool.
What Phil says is all fingers and toes crossed, Phil. I'll tell you what. James might even turn up on Sunday. Hey, Phil, Milo Jednak is aiming to get Aston Villa back into the EPL on Tuesday morning. Yeah. Isn't it? Tuesday morning?
Yeah. They go in as favourites, Ray. It's a $300 million game. He was brought across from Crystal Palace, you remember, in 2016 to help get the club promoted. And they missed out at the final hurdle last year. They were beaten by Fulham at Wembley. So this is, they say you got to lose one to win one. Well, they're in the box seat. They've beaten Derby twice this season. I think the goal aggregate was pretty damning as well in Villa's favour. So they go in as favourites, there's no doubt about that. But a massive, massive game. And Jednak has said that he wants to go around in the Premier League again. So he's got there's no signs of slowing up the old warhorse and retiring. So it's all on the line on Tuesday morning our time.
Well, wouldn't he? They'd probably double his weekly salary at that point. So
you'd imagine so.
Yeah, exactly. Derby versus Aston Villa, that one Tuesday. Midnight is when it starts, 3:30 Derby, the draw 3:20, and Villa are favourites for that one at $2.20.
And we should make mention of Glasgow Celtic, the treble for it's the third year in a row on the treble, isn't it? I think they beat Hearts 2-1 overnight.
Yeah, and Tommy Rogic has got a whole new cabinet for silverware down there in Canberra at his family home.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Good on you, Mossy. We'll look forward to this Champions League final next week. Massive game.
Can't wait to be out there. What a place to watch it too, Jimmy. Mm. So much history and tradition attached to Club Marconi. Can't wait to see you out there.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to that one. The BSB weekend on the road. We've canvassed for that for a long time, Roman, and we finally get it. They're listening to us. Up next, though, we're going to have a chat with rugby league coach from the Newcastle Knights, Nathan Brown.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Well, they say a week is a long time in rugby league. I can only imagine what 5 weeks is like when you're down at the bottom of the table and there's pressure from all around. Mm. And next thing you know, you win five on the trot and you are fourth on the National Rugby League ladder. He's been on the program beforehand. It's great to get him on again. Nathan Brown is coach of the Newcastle Knights. G'day, Brownie.
Jimmy, how are you, pal?
Well, I'm well, but I can only imagine the change in your demeanour, maybe even the demeanour, certainly the confidence levels of the Newcastle Knights that you've witnessed over the last 5 weeks. Is there anything in particular that has led to this great streak?
No, great thing, obviously. The Gold Coast game was a bit of a strip-out one for us, Jimmy.
Yep.
That review session was no different to, I suppose, other review sessions. Now, we had been playing, as I said, after the Gold Coast game, we'd had a fair number of losses where we'd competed really well and we just lacked a little bit of polish, but I think, we've probably even maybe improved a little bit in the physical part of the game for longer periods, but I suppose our polish and obviously Pearcey's form, and that enables, when your halfback's playing so well and competing so well, that allows, creates a little bit more room for people like Kalen and Connor and, Kurt Mann's doing some good stuff in there. Danny Levi's been well, but a lot of their good stuff's been coming off the back of our forward pack, who I think are probably not probably quite getting the accolades they probably deserve because obviously Pearcey and Caelan have been so brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Thanks for joining us. That review session after the Gold Coast game, did you throw it open to the players to have their say? Was it an honest and open appraisal? Can you put us in the room there? Or?
No, it was just a normal review session. Obviously, there were some pictures there which no one likes to see them. When you sort of have some responses we had in that game, I said, coaches don't like to have that, and players certainly don't like to have it. And that's when all sorts of stories start, and you got to copy medicine when it happens. And to the boys' credit, we always felt we'd had a pretty reasonable pre-season. We felt the playing group was a good bunch of guys and McKean. And I don't know why we got that performance, but we certainly had a number of real close losses before it, which is, can easily happen in this competition with the closest of it. But the guy's response has been great. And obviously, as you win a couple of games, your confidence grows. And the last couple of weeks, obviously,
you know, on the back of winning some games and gaining a little bit of extra confidence, have seen some good footy play.
And what about your confidence, Nathan? I know you've been a coach for a long time now. It was a difficult period. Did you envisage getting out of it? Did you think, and this comes back to the unique nature of the deal that you've signed with the Newcastle Knights, did you think your job was under threat at any point during the course of that losing streak, especially after that Gold Coast game?
No, look, after the Gold Coast game, Jimmy, when you're having the performance that you get there, obviously, you know, speculation always arises, and that's just a part of the nature of the job. But, you know, I certainly felt that, as I said, I was always confident we had enough in the playing group, and
yep.
I felt we'd had a good pre-season. I felt we'd showed enough, apart from, you know, 20 minutes against Manly, the Gold Coast game. It can happen, unfortunately, and it did happen, but, you know, I've been coaching a long time, and fortunately been through these experiences, and you just got to hold your nerve and have some faith in what you're doing, and you got to hope that the playing group, I suppose, have got enough ability, which we certainly have, and you got to hope that, you know, they have some sort of faith in what the coaching staff are doing as well. And it's turned out okay now, but, you know, as you can see on the ladder, you know, we might be fourth today, but, you know, we've got South and Melbourne in the next 2 weeks, and you can go from fourth to anywhere in this competition. But I think we'd all agree we're certainly playing some decent footy, and we should be confident no matter who we play.
Caelan Ponga will be named in the Queensland side. Mitch Pearce has had 5 man of the match performances in a row, and Danny Levi is getting some accolades for the play he's played over the last 5 weeks. Is there anyone else that's in the side that you think is probably not getting that credit? We've had an SMS from someone here, Stanley from Stockton, saying, can you ask Nathan about Mitch Barnett? I think he's just never getting mentioned of the guy who's playing so well.
Yeah, he's been great, Barney. I think, like, probably the most pleasing thing is with a lot of our performances now, obviously, as we mentioned, McCaelan and Piercy obviously get a huge amount of credit because of the type of players they are in the positions they play. And if you don't have those type of guys, you know, you don't get to where you want to get to, and they get the accolades as they deserve. But I think collectively, you know, we've had a lot of real solid performers, and on the weekend and playing the St George game and, you know, the Parramatta game, I think, you know, as a collective 17, I think we're getting great contribution from our bench, we're getting great from our starting side. So I just feel like everyone's contributing. I don't think any one person, but probably with Mitch Barnett and, you know, Lockie Fitzgibbon, Daniel Safidi, Sione Mataria, Danny Levi, they're the guys that have probably been here through the whole lot of it. They've been through the one win and then the 5 wins and some horrible losses. And I think what they've shown in the past sort of 5 or 6 weeks is that they can turn up and play some consistent NRL footy, which that's not as easy as what everyone thinks. Now, the NRL's a tough business, and being consistently pretty fair each week is what it's all about. And I think those guys that have been through the worst part of the club's sort of rebuild or the past sort of 3 or 4 year history, and Josh King, you know, Josh King's been terrific too, and he hasn't been in the scene the last 2 weeks, but he's, you know, a standout in reserve guy. So those sort of 7 guys that are left have probably really benefited from, I reckon, having Timmy Glasby and Dave Clemmer and some blokes who know how to turn up every week and prepare and play well. And, and they're the benefits of the experienced folks we've brought in, I feel.
Yeah, and the brand of footy too, Nathan, like against the Dragons and again against the Roosters, fantastic to watch the team playing with such confidence and their ball movement. Obviously, Pong is a superstar, Pierce, etc. And then on Friday night, when you see 25,000 plus people at Newcastle barracking for their team, that must give the players and the coaching staff, I guess, some confidence and to go out there knowing you've got such a huge supporter base up there.
Yeah, the supporter base has been great. You know, we've had some really, really lean times. And, we sort of still had a core base of, you know, sort of 18 or 20,000. And turn up the other day with, you know, playing a top sort of top side in the Roosters, and that extra sort of 6,000 or so turn up. And the atmosphere was, you know, according to Denny Rodiris and Joey Johns, the atmosphere was like it was in the 2000s. You know, I haven't seen that for a long time. And, you know, I think one thing, I think there's the supporters certainly deserve to get to, I suppose, relive those days, because they've certainly hung in there through some tough times, and hopefully over the course of the next sort of period of not only the rest of this year, but for a sort of long, sustained period, hopefully the fans get to see more nights like that, you know, because they certainly deserve it.
Nathan, New South Wales v Queensland, that's up. We're getting sides named by New South Wales tonight, Queensland tomorrow. You've been involved in that arena as an assistant coach. Looking at New South Wales and the halves, what would you do with the players that are available?
Oh, I'm not 100%, you know, well, Pearce is not quite available, so if you want me to comment on Mitchell Pearce, Jimmy, I can't there because he won't be quite available.
Yeah, no, I'll exclude him.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know, because, you know, one of the things that they have to work out always is how do you want to play, you know, and different players play different styles of footy, you know,
yep.
So how the coach sees the best fit to beat Queensland's obviously what needs to be sort of sourced, and there's the good thing for New South Wales is, oh, well, there was, it still is a little bit, but, you know, they've got some players there that have been in really good form, you know, Adam Reynolds and Keary and Mitchell, who are all unfortunately out, but Cody Walker's still there in super form, and obviously young Nathan's, you know, he's been criticised a bit for his form this year, but he is the incumbent player, he's young, and he's been involved in one series and one winning series, you know, so I'm sure in amongst those guys there, Jack Wrighton's playing outstanding footy at 5-8, so the good thing for New South Wales, opposed to a number of years ago, is they've got lots of blokes that are not only informed, but they've got lots of good options. And,
yeah,
you know, with the hooker playing so well and Teddy playing so well, I'm sure they can make something work there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Nathan, just quickly, Mitchell Pearce, is it a couple of weeks, do you think, with that groin strain?
Yeah, it's more of one of those ones where the buys come at a great time for us, because if he has a week off training, he should not have a problem to be managed then, yeah, that's
right.
The key to it. And if he was were to play next week, well, then it could get a little worse, but with a week off, he won't train for us next week. And if he was the place in New South Wales, he wouldn't have been able to train. So that's not ideal for the coach or the players. So that's where he's sort of more unavailable. So it's more that the week off, he should be able to train for us the following week and be fit to go. But if he was to keep playing with it and training with it, it'd become like a much bigger issue.
Mm. How'd you go on the barbie yesterday?
I was outstanding, Jim.
Hang on, are we able to order the soft eggs?
It was quite good, Jimmy, because one young gentleman came up, a young curry lad, and he said, can I have the burnt bacon? I said, not a problem. There was enough of that there, so.
Well, mate, you've got to do those jobs, and you've got to do them right. We know how it is at the junior footy or the junior sport all round. Also, you've got to coach your side well. You're doing that. 5 weeks on the Triton. It's a rise up the ladder for Newcastle. Always good with your time, mate. We do appreciate it this morning.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Nathan.
There he is, Nathan Brown. This is an interesting... It's an SMS that's been sent in of a tweet.
Brilliant.
It's from Jobbo. He says, Ponga, give him a 10-year deal, whatever he wants. If he wants a cat, give him a tiger. If he wants a house on the beach, give him Nobby's Lighthouse. If he wants a theatre room for his lighthouse, get him the Opera House. Just get it done.
You want to keep him, don't you?
He's a superstar. A break, and then back with more.
Mum, I have the gift.
What gift do you present?
A Bingley bonus 10% gift card with TVs 55 inches and above.
Oh, Lano, repeat after me.
Okay.
You have the Bingley gift card.
You have the Bingley gift card.
No, say I have the Bingley gift card.
Mum has the Bingley gift card.
Receive a bonus 10% gift card when you buy any TV 55 inches and above at Bingley.
Receive.
Lano, stop.
Conditions apply.
Join Shelley Hancocks to race the rising 3-year-old filly by Husson to be trained by Scott Singleton at Hawkesbury. Husson, 64% winners to runners, 15 stakes winners, including Lucky Hustler, Frolic and Russin. The Dam, Blue Garter by Snip and Son, won 3. This is the second foal. Your 5% share, only $1,500, 180 a month covers cost, 2.5% shares available. Bob's qualified, free replacement offer. For a PDS, call Shelley on 03-5274-9171 or see the website Hancocks, hancox.com.au. AFSL 227-365.
Ball passed, but Simone floats it over the top, and here is number 3 for Davida Gurandrani. It's a hat-trick at GIO Stadium.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sport Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Hey, James, this is from John from Moorbank. Good morning, John. He says, Jimmy and Ray, good luck to Nathan Brown. He said a few years to go to you guys that he has always fronted up and been honest in the good and bad times. He doesn't sugarcoat the situation,
no.
And the people of Newcastle deserve their success.
Good fella.
To see you in it.
One of the good fellas. Another good fella is Scotty Foster from C. Foster & Sons Quality Cars. He joins us on the line as he does every Sunday. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, mate. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what got into me, to be honest. But anyway,
you
must have had a good weekend.
No.
Well, I didn't back Nobu, and everyone told me to, and I didn't. But anyway, now, what do you got for us? How did we go last week? Did we sell?
We didn't sell last week. We've been very quiet, mate. I blame the election for last weekend's little hiccup. But
any excuse is a good excuse.
Well and truly over that now, I hope. So we're going to be back. And, boys, I've got one of the best Ford Territory gears on special for the listeners today.
Okay.
So if you're after a four-wheel drive wagon, then you've got to listen up, because this Ford Territory is an all-wheel drive automatic wagon. And being the gear, it comes with all the nice options, including leather trim, dual-zone climate control air conditioning, ABS brakes, traction control, cruise control, power windows. It's got front and side airbags, 17-inch alloy wheels. They do have reverse sensors. And this one also comes with a tow pack. It's white in colour and an outstanding-looking vehicle. It's on sale today for just $5,990. But you need to be quick. Go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024. This is a great all-wheel drive Territory gear, perfect for towing. So don't miss out. This is a steal, and we want it sold today. It's just $599, and it's a great vehicle. So be quick and get on the phone now.
And you've got some great finance packages available right now too, Scotty.
Certainly do, and Ray, we do have access to a number of lenders, and it allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024. And let us get you driving a vehicle as soon as today.
And remember, if you need a truck, the Good Truck Wholesalers, Mirrors Mick Appleby, you know why they called him Mirrors. He just stared at himself in the mirror all the time. And to be honest, Ray, he's not the most attractive human on the planet.
You can't say those things.
I can. Am I right, Scotty?
He might. I don't know what he was like when he was playing footy, but he's not the most attractive man now, do you know?
Well, if that's what you believe, then I think he's been consistent. Now,
he's probably listening to this.
Yeah, probably. G'day, Mick. How are you, mate? Give Scotty and the team a call on 963-75024 if you want that truck. Now, Ringrose Park, we're playing footy there today.
That's a huge day of rugby league. We've got Wenny Sydney Shield playing Guildford at 11 a.m., followed by the Ron Massey Cup side also playing Guildford at 1 p.m. And then the Wente Canterbury Cup side, they play Penrith at 3 p.m. It's going to be a great afternoon of rugby league. So come down and watch three big games of footy and then head over to Wente Leagues and try out the new Plaza food area. It's a food bonanza there with so much to choose from. So get in there and try out the new club.
Mate, you have become the ultra professional here on a Sunday morning.
Outstanding.
Scotty.
Brilliantly done.
Well done.
All right, boys.
That's just been
two compliments.
It's too much for me. I've got to go and get over it.
Yeah, wait till you hang up. We'll get stuck into you.
Enjoy your day, Scotty. Good on you, mate.
See you, boys.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Foster's Quality Cars. Check him out online, fosterscualitycars.com.au. Let's go to callers on the line there. Pete wants to have his say before we say goodbye to everyone. Raymond, g'day, Pete.
How are you? Good morning.
Really well. What do you got for us, mate?
A couple of things out of the day, of course. I can't remember anyone winning five awards like Pearce.
Yeah,
and I've been watching rugby league since I saw Frank Hyde play in the 40s.
Wow.
Actually, the lovely Aaron Mullen. Aaron Mullen did say Jared Hayne won six consecutive man of matches awards during his great streak.
2009.
Because even Joey John said last night, has anyone ever won five in a row? And Aaron Mullen knew straight away, Pete.
He did have a purple patch, didn't he? Hayne played.
He did, yeah.
And the racing rate is unbelievable. You must be, you talk repetitiously every week as the horse jumps out, but, it's just unbelievable.
It's some quality there right now, isn't there, at the moment?
Great horses, yeah.
Good on you, Pete. Well spotted.
Good call, Pete. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Newcastle Knights, Heimel Hunt and Edric Lee have been great too. That's from Sporty Gav up there in Newcastle. One more call
before
we head to the hills. G'day, John.
Hello, fellas.
Good morning,
Jimmy.
John.
G'day, Ray. How are you going? Okay, just quickly. Yep. I know you haven't got much time. There was a great knock by Steve Smith last night.
It's great to see, wasn't it, John?
He's fantastic.
Isn't he great to watch? He twitches, he touches his pads and he flicks his ground. But he's just so effective, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And just while I was listening to that fellow of consecutive man of the matches, Jimmy, Ellery Hanley's run in the 88 Balmain side.
Yeah, he did.
He played through that semi-final series, I think. But until he got clocked in the grand final by Kerry Lamb, he got man of the match in pretty much every game.
Yeah, he was awesome, wasn't he? Playing right centre, and he carried the ball in the right hand and just fend off with that left hand. Good call, John. Excellent call.
Who wins, James?
Rodney. He was excited about the Cricket World Cup coming up, and he said, look, everyone talked about the demise of 50-over cricket, but the World Cup proves that it is not. So Winks book and Wingman beer coming your way, Rodney. So thanks for that. Coming up on Racing HQ, John Scorse is going to look at today's meeting at Nowra. Gary Harley previews Muswellbrook. Racing HQ back tomorrow morning at 5:30. Racing HQ will be back. And Big Sports Breakfast.
You're on tomorrow morning, aren't you?
Yeah. Racing HQ is the program after.
You're on at 5:30 tomorrow morning.
Just looking to